Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness. Another week has gone by, and here we are, revolutionaries. You've reached the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, did you know that you can text the show? I didn't know that. I mean, I did. I didn't know how we could do it, but I do now. And what you do is you download the free Civic Media app, and you select your station, whichever station. We got stations all over the state. And then you can text into the show from the app. And later on in the show, I'm going to ask for some audience participation. So as you're listening, download that app and stay tuned for that whole thing. So if you missed last week's episode, that was awesome. We had some wonderful conversations. We talked to, oh goodness, Joe Walsh, and then we talked to the campaign manager for Harris campaign, and it was really awesome to be able to speak with both of them. So if you want to catch that episode and you didn't, when you download the free Civic Media app, you can listen to all the episodes there too, just like this one with our dear friend, returning guest, and fellow revolutionary, Mr. Carlton Huffman. How are you?
Doing well. We're at that time of the season where my mood is completely tied to the fortunes of the Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll see how the Saturday evening's clash with the Alabama Crimson Tide goes. But right now, I got to give you a credit. Your Tennessee Volunteers are looking pretty good this year. So yes, we might be seeing each other not just in the regular season, but in the college football playoffs.
I know. And I think, you know, we have our common enemy in the Alabama Crimson Tide. I can't stand them. And so, you know, I do hope they lose in glorious fashion. Tennessee doesn't play this week. But yeah, no, that's cool. My son and I, we do enjoy watching those Volunteers play football. So yeah, how's Georgia's doing good?
Well, I mean, we looked pretty mortal going up against Kentucky.
I saw that.
It's like Georgia football always likes to have at least one heart attack game of the year. I mean, we have not lost a regular season game in three seasons. But they came within 1 point of doing so against Kentucky, but they had a bye week last week. So we'll see if they've got the kinks out of the system, and hopefully they roll through Tuscaloosa tonight. I'm not even going to let the fact that the convicted felon and current Republican nominee Donald Trump is going to be at the game.
Oh, God, is he really?
He likes to show up to these things, even though it brings, like, makes 90,000 people have to go through metal detectors, bag cases, and everything else, all so that he can get his photo op.
Right, and he probably only stays for, like, a quarter and a half. You know? That's interesting.
If that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that that he was going to be at the game. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, when you consider the fact that, I mean, when we last spoke, Joe Biden was still the nominee and Georgia was looking to be increasingly off the map for the Democrats. But now with the switch up and Kamala being in the driver's seat, Georgia is back in play. And so, of course, Donald Trump is going to try and grab every vote that he can through all the attention that he can get. And she's going to try and do the same. So. And now I can sit here and say North Carolina, too, where I'm sitting at, we are once again a battleground state, and it's anybody's ballgame.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how things have changed in the last, since we last spoke. And, you know, where we are, the state of the national race, I did like the 538 forecast. And what the 538, for those of you who don't know, is like a prognosticator's prognostication machine. And they have all sorts of different scenarios and all of that. And so what they do is they do like the 538 forecast. And they do 100 scenarios. And I just did it this morning. And in those 100 scenarios, Harris wins 56 times and Trump wins 43. And the map itself has shifted. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, back whenever Joe Biden was still the nominee, it was looking increasingly like, due to his flagging numbers with young people and definitely minority voters, particularly black voters, that the Sun Belt, meaning North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and maybe Nevada, were off the map for him, and that they were looking increasingly like that Trump was going to carry those states. And so that left basically one path for Joe Biden to retain the presidency, and that was to sweep the blue wall, which is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and to pick up the one electoral vote from Nebraska, which we recently saw the Republicans attempted to change the rules very late in the game to take that one vote from Nebraska off the table. But that was Joe Biden's one pass to 270. And after the debate in Atlanta back in June, it increasingly looked like not even that was going to happen. But once Kamala Harris took the helm, and she has performed much, way above the expectations that I myself had and like so many national pundits had of her. She has made this a race, and now North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada are very much in play. And we can see with the spending of the Trump campaign that they see the danger too. And you see it where both him and Vance are spending their time. And it basically comes down to either one of those Sunbelt states and the state of Pennsylvania. If Kamala wins Pennsylvania, it's game over. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's going to be a rough ride for American democracy.
Well, and I was playing around on some of those, was it the electoral map, you know, simulators or whatever. And I noticed that I don't think Kamala Harris really even needs to win Arizona. I mean, if she retains the blue wall, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, it's game over, regardless of any, regardless of Georgia, North Carolina, whatever, it's done. That's game, set, match.
It absolutely is, but it also just is a testament to that, to the state of the change race, and it also just to the state of the electorate, that most everybody, I think, in this country at the very beginning of the cycle, we could look at the two of them, those of us on the pro-democracy side could look at Joe Biden and say, you saved American democracy in 2020. You have been a good and capable president, but to finish your term at 86 is something that people, we could all look at that and say, that is a questionable bet. We will definitely vote for that over Trump, but for so many people in the country, they had questions, which I believe were legitimate, about his capability of finishing out the rest of this term and finishing a full second term. But now you see people are looking at this race through an entirely different lens. And here we are just less than 6 weeks out. We are right here where early voting is already beginning in certain states. Absentee ballots are going out. And you can see that the Democrats have definitely have regained an advantage, which Trump had started after his conviction to close the money gap. But then this last reporting quarter, Kamala outraised him 4-1, which is astounding considering how much Trump was able to raise, but also the fact that Trump is spending more money than he is bringing in. And they do not have an established ground game within the framework of the RNC and the Republican Party of Wisconsin and all the other battleground Republican state parties. It is probably one of the weirdest structures I've seen in terms of how the Republicans are trying to get out their vote, basically using super PACs and third-party groups. But here we are with Kamala at a better-than-even chance of pulling this thing off, and I just would encourage all of your listeners who are pro-democracy revolutionaries, do not take this for granted. It looks decent right now, but it can still shift with all that we've seen change since this last June.
Well, and, you know, I spoke with last week with Garen Randolph, who is Kamala Harris's Wisconsin campaign manager, and talked about the PTSD that, like, I remember what 2016 was like. I mean, you remember that very well, too. And it was Hillary Clinton was up big, big, big in all of these states to the point where Hillary almost, like, all but pulled out of Wisconsin because she was so far ahead in all of the polls. And then we all know what happened in Philadelphia, and that glass ceiling was not shattered at all. Wisconsin flipped, and all these states that were looking like this was going to be this coronation, this huge moment for our country, and it didn't happen. And so I asked Garen, how do we assure that that doesn't happen again?
I mean, basically, it is donate to the Democrat Party of Wisconsin, the Kamala campaign, donate to Tammy Baldwin and all the congressional candidates. Make sure that if you've got a chance to make some phone calls, send some text messages, go out and knock some doors on the rest of these remaining 5 weekends of the election. Do not let off the gas right here, because the Trump team, they have a weird structure right now. They have a lot of structural disadvantages compared to where Kamala is. But the simple fact remains that there is at least 46 to 47% of this country that are locked in with Trump, whether they love and adore him or just simply hate the vision that they think that the Democrats are putting forward to this country. It is basically, you got a few dollars, send them to all those various campaigns. You've got some time, just get up and go. I think it was Dr. King said it best, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by whatever means, you have the capability of doing something, let's do it now while it counts between now and the polls closing on November 5th.
You ever think you would have said that, like what you just said?
If you had told me in 2016 that I would have ever considered voting for a national Democrat, I would have told you you're crazy. If you had told me that I want the Democrats to maintain control of the United States Senate and potentially flip the House, I would have told you you're crazy. But we look and see where the Republican Party has gone. We saw just this last week that Clay Higgins, who was a congressman from Louisiana, basically tell the Haitian residents in Springfield, Ohio, to his words, get the hell out of this country before January the 20th.
Yeah.
I mean, an openly racist statement to people who are here in this country legally.
Right.
That is what the Republican Party has become, and that is entirely because they decided to hitch their wagon to Donald Trump, thinking that they could control him, and instead they became just like him.
Yeah, it really is something that's now, you know, my, how the mighty have fallen, and it's really a sad state of affairs when you look at where the party is nationally, where it was, and, you know, it's the party of Reagan and Lincoln and Bush and McCain, and here we are, you know, telling legal, you know, migrants here to get the hell out, racially charged statements, bigotry, all this stuff. It's just something that is disgusting, and it's really a shame. But we're going to talk about Congress and the balance of power here in the next segment. We are talking with dear friend of the show, Carlton Huffman. We'll see you right back shortly.